Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Kit.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, a show where we talk about TV shows, we talk about movies, we talk about nonsense. But this is a series where we're watching Lost. And going through every episode of the first season. Steve has seen it before. And I have not.
We are ignorant.
And many things, but specifically in Lost. So enjoy our coverage of this show and look forward to other things very, very soon. Very, very soon.
Yeah.
You can email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. You can mail the show things at the P.O. box in the show notes.
Yeah. Mail us stuff.
I don't know it. But people do that, believe it or not. Follow the YouTube. Follow the Instagram. Follow the Twitter. The X.
Yeah. Sure. Go on Patreon. Be a patron.
Blue Sky.
Do it.
We don't have one.
Yeah, there's no Blue Sky for the show.
Blue Sky. I just want to say that. It sounds amazing.
We don't have a... What's the other one? Mammoth? What's the Mammoth one?
Yeah, that was a thing for a second.
We don't toot. We don't tune on Mammoth.
Or Skeet on Blue Sky.
Or Skeet on Blue. I could not believe that when someone told me that.
Yeah. I told you that. I was like, dude, they're called Skeets.
Yeah,
when you
post on
about.
Blue Sky, it's called a Skeet.
Oh.
There are Twitter social media app alternatives. And Blue Sky is the one that's like kind of sticking around. And instead of tweets, they're called Skeets because of Sky. And as a millennial,
skeet, skeet, skeet.
Oh, yeah.
Skeet, skeet, skeet.
Yeah. Like,
from the window to the wall is all I could think
down
of.
My balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a whole Dave Chappelle joke where they were allowing the skeet, skeet, skeet on the radio. And he's like, you can't let that. Who let that pass?
Oh, skeet, skeet, motherfucker. Oh, skeet, skeet. Goddamn.
I do kind of want to make a Mammoth account just so I can just
toot.
Just so I can toot the word toot with
Oops,
a period.
I tooted.
Oops.
It needs to say your own horn. Get it to your own horn.
Nice.
Madison coming in with the funny.
That's gonna get at least two likes.
At least.
Two toots.
One from my mom.
You can.
Suzanne coming in with the toots.
Following us on Mammoth.
You know she's tooting.
She's rooting for a tooting.
Yep.
You can go to patreon.com/streamingthings to get extra bonus episodes and vote on polls for special episodes that we record each month. To support the show financially, that would be amazing if you have the ability to do that. If you don't, we understand it's surviving, paying your own bills is difficult during these times.
It's Mad Max out there.
Just share the show with your friends, post about it on social media, rate and review the show. Those kinds of things are very helpful as well. We're just glad that you're here. If you want to do, just listen, just be a passive listener. That's awesome. Thank you so much for giving us that. This is Lost episode 16 titled Outlaws. We're going to talk about our overall thoughts initially, and then we'll go in through a scene by scene, play by play recap, and then wrap it all up with our favorite moments, our favorite performance, list the mysteries that have been solved or revealed, like behind the scenes tidbits, all that stuff at the end.
Beach, please.
Madison, let me know. We all kind of hated episode 15. What did you think of episode 16, Outlaws?
I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it's because episode 15 was shit, but I really enjoyed episode 16. I don't know. I just feel like it was there are so many more things to be intrigued by. Sawyer's backstory. We were kind of building on top of his from last time. And we got to learn a lot more about Sawyer and Kate this episode, which I really enjoyed. Got to kind of see them interact in a more, I don't know, like still flirtatious way, but a little bit more like, oh, coming to terms with like how similar they are as people and stuff like that. But yeah, I really like this episode.
Steve, what about you?
I also really like this episode. Again, it could be because we watched episode 15 and 16 back to back.
Yeah.
So it could just because like coming off of the low that was episode 15 and then getting into this one, like, oh, an actual like good episode. This feels amazing. But yeah, everything Madison said, always fun to learn more about Sawyer. It was kind of a very like the opening of the episode is very dark and broody. And what happens in it is also kind of like its own sort of tragedy that happens, but there's fun to be had in the middle. Like you get to see Sawyer in this light. Cause usually he's kind of painted as the odd man out, and he still is, but this sort of subplot where he's like, I got to get my vengeance on this boar is really, it's fun, but it's also poignant with the story they're telling with him in the backstory. And I think this is a good example of what I think Lost should be. If you're going to do these backstories, the backstory has to be interesting in and of themselves, but they also have to sort of pertain to the island and not take away from the island. Like last episode, Charlie's backstory was actively taking away from the interest that was happening on the island. Yeah. Whereas this was helping prop that up and make it seem even more important than maybe it possibly was if we were just watching what was happening on the island. So yeah, that's what I feel about Outlaws. Kit?
I love this episode. It is so well written. It's just like you said, it's everything that 15 is not, and the fact that how they want to interweave the past and the present. Mm-hmm. This is an excellent example of how that works to maximum effect. It was written by Drew Goddard, who I'm sure we discussed being part of the show when we first started talking about this show. But because of the 4-month hiatus of the strike, I was like sat forward in my seat. And as the credits were playing in the beginning, like, wait, what? Drew Goddard, if you don't know, wrote Cloverfield and World War Z and got an Oscar for writing The Martian. He also helped create and write Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, Alias. He also created the Netflix show Daredevil. And most famously directed, not most famously, but most dear to my heart, directed The Cabin in the Woods. And a movie that I think is underrated, Bad Times at the El Royale, a movie that I really like.
Oh, that is a fun movie. Yeah.
Big fan. I only watched it once, but I'm due for a rewatch. So I sat forward at the beginning like, oh, shit. I'm sure that I knew at some point Drew Goddard was involved with the show, and I'm sure we even discussed it. But because of the long hiatus, it was kind of new information to me when the credits were rolling. This is my favorite episode of the season so far. I fucking loved it. I think it's so well written. I can't wait to get into it. I was so excited to record the podcast today when this ended at 1:30 in the morning this morning.
I don't know how you guys watched, because you know, this is the first week we're doing two episodes since the last time we tried it before the strike. So I watched 15 and 16 back to back all in one go.
Yes.
Is that what you did as well?
I did. Well, I had to take a break and go put my daughter to bed and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah. So did you feel the same way as I did? Like episode 15 ends and I was like, fucking, I'm in such a bad mood.
I was actually just so grateful because we were doubling.
Because if you had to sit in that for a week.
Yeah. It was like, what a bummer that would have been. But at the same time, I don't think it's because 15 was so shitty that I love 16 so much. I just think it was that sucked.
But yeah. how fun was it to like sit with 15? You're upset. Then you watch this episode. And by the end of it, you're like, okay, yes. This is Lost. I love this show.
This is the pick me up I needed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this could be a hyperbole, but I feel like this is my favorite episode by a mile. I fucking loved it and I can't wait to dive into it.
Heck yeah.
And it's funny because do you guys watch the Previously On?
Yes.
Or do you skip it?
Yeah, sometimes.
So it's doing the Previously On and it's showing Jack and his dad. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of down. I'm tired. It's late. And I just watched 15, an episode that I hated. And my note is, oh no, a Jack episode.
Another one. We just had one.
And then, and when it gets to the rest of the Previously On and I go, wait, Sawyer? Because it's a bunch of Sawyer stuff and I'm super confused. love it so much. So yeah. In the past, it opens in the past, and it's a young boy who we find out is a young Sawyer. We'll call him that for now. being told to hide by his mom. There's like an angry man knocking on the door.
We get that boy's eyeball.
We do.
This is an opening eyeballs.
We episode. Do. His mom's name is Laura. She goes to tell the man to go away. Stop pounding on the door. You're scaring me, right? The kid's hiding under the bed. And then we hear a gunshot, a thump, and silence. Mm. Fuck. Mm-hmm. Dark, right?
Yeah.
And it affected me profoundly. I was like, oh, shit. I don't like this at all. Cowboy boots coming into the room. He's under the bed.
Like we an outlaw.
A gun cock. And then he blows his own brains out. Right. And then all of a sudden you're like, no wonder Sawyer's kind of a dick. Like, this is like beyond.
That's fucked up.
Right. Beyond traumatizing. Christ. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we cut to the present. Sawyer wakes to find a boar digging through his shit in the tent.
Is rummaging through his rat hole.
He chases it into the jungle. And then he hears.
Wait, hold on. Not only does he chase it through the jungle, he starts hitting it with a bat or something.
He goes he hits full it like once, savage. Yeah. Like, rah! No shirt on.
Rah! Love that part.
No one takes Sawyer's shit. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. No one.
And then he hears voices, the whispers in the jungle that Saeed had heard. And we do hear distinctly,
it'll come back around.
Yeah. Goes around, comes around. We hear that all the time. And then lost. And then it cuts back to in the daytime, Saeed giving Sawyer shit about the tarp and the boar.
this was fun.
I just love how everybody was taunting him this whole time about the boar. Oh, you're letting a boar get the best of you.
The boar trucked you.
Perhaps he wanted to go camping.
Mm.
I love that. Like, are you enjoy yourself? And that little Naveen Andrews smile where he's like, yeah, I am.
I totally am. I will stab you again. I hate you. Yeah. But then he also says, I thought it was funny. I thought the boars left, which is a lie that Locke made up. So it's just kind of touched on there. And then Sawyer says, laugh it up, Muhammad. But then he's like, Saeed. He asks about the voices. What did you hear out there? He almost tells him that he also heard the whispers. And Saeed's very interested.
Yeah,
he decides not to. He does that twice in this episode.
They're both trying to convince themselves that it's nothing. Like, no, I'm a big, strong, brave man who's not scared of whispers in the woods.
Yeah.
Because even Saeed's like, I mean, it was nothing. I was delirious. I was tired. Right. I was injured. I was just hearing things. And Sawyer's like, me too. Yeah, me too, bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
I didn't hear shit.
It was nothing.
Nux, remember when we had guns yesterday? So dope. So we're fun. Men. Yeah, we're men.
We're outlaws.
We had to get high five. That sucked, but then we get this sick slow-mo shot of Sawyer with his hair flopping.
I love it when Lost does this where they're about to cut away to or from a flashback and the character walks towards camera in slow-mo like they're like a bomb's going to go off behind them and they're not going to look.
It fucking worked for me though, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's how handsome Sawyer is or what, but
his
I was
hair
like,
bouncing in slow-mo
into it. Full of Godzilla stomps.
I wish you guys audio listeners could have just seen Madison's face.
And we cut back to the past, and it's a grown-up Sawyer, probably hustling a woman. And yep, and I love my note, probably hustling a woman, maybe just horny. Because it's like you have to assume he has just normal sex sometimes, right? Maybe not.
he can't get it up unless he's hustling someone.
Right. And then fucking Robert Patrick is in the room.
Fucking Terminator.
Nothing will kill a boner faster than Robert Patrick sitting in the corner.
T-1000 sitting there watching you bone.
His name is Hibbs, which is terrible.
It'd have been weird if he was like, don't mind me.
So, carry on. Sorry.
I mean, I got to talk to Sawyer, but you guys can finish.
Sawyer kicks his
or
mark out.
We'll talk while mm-hmm. you're doing the deed. You
know? Doing the deed. Won't take long.
That's the only way I want to talk about people with business. Like, you specifically have to have sex, but I'll talk to you about the business opportunity.
I would do more business meetings if that's how they went down, instead of just a Zoom or a Teams.
Kit, we got to talk. We got to talk about the podcast.
Yes,
I'm on my way.
Love these meetings. But he says, "I'd kill you if I ever saw you again." I told you that. And Robert Patrick's like, "You won't kill me." So he gives him money that he owed him for the Tampa job.
And then, sorry, that was such an ominous laugh. But he calls him Sawbucks. Did you see that?
No.
He calls him Sawbucks. Hey, Sawbucks. And I'm like,
that's so catty.
Oh my God.
That's so catty. So he says he knows where the real Sawyer is, the one that hustled his mother and caused his father to kill his mother and kill himself.
I got the whereabouts for the man that ruined your life.
He's in Sydney, Australia. That's why Sawyer went to Australia.
Night. His name is Frank Duckett.
But he used to go by Frank Sawyer.
Mm-hmm. Was it Duckett or Bucket? I have Bucket written down.
It was Duckett.
Duckett. Duckett. Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
Bucket's just as cool.
Yeah.
Should have ducked that bullet, am I right?
He does kick the bucket. the moniker I understand you took for yourself.
Man. We're here till Thursday, folks.
Back in the present, Jack is collecting all the guns back. He got everybody but Sawyer to relinquish their guns. And Kate is like, I'll get the gun. I speak his language. And by that, I mean, I make out with him and he gives me stuff. And Jack's like, I don't want you to kiss him. I get really jealous.
Yeah, I'm a jealous boy.
Don't do that.
Wait, doesn't she say thanks for the loaner, like giving him the gun back? And in my notes, I'm like, no, babe. Sawyer gave you that gun, not Jack. Don't praise him.
Don't praise Jack. Jack deserves no praise at all.
So now Jack has five guns at the end of this episode in the box, right? Because he even has the one Sawyer used to have.
Yeah.
But this whole thing, he's like, I don't want you to owe him. But really, he doesn't want him. He doesn't want him hanging out and kissing.
Yeah.
I don't want you kissing. I want you talking infrastructure with me.
Which is interesting because like Sawyer acknowledges that like Jack has a thing for Kate because he's like, oh, what's your girlfriend doing? Like at the end of the episode. So I'm like, I'm still trying to navigate.
He likes that they're competitive.
Obviously, there is like a romantic trope here, but I'm still trying to determine.
When are they going to kiss Sawyer and Jack?
I want them to so bad.
You have no idea.
That's been going into Madison's fan fiction.
Literally. I keep writing it in.
We cut to...
Jack walks into Sawyer's tent, breathing heavily.
Sawyer wakes up.
Hey, Doc.
Thinking it's the boar, but no, it's Jack.
Hey, this Doc. Little piggy will go to market.
You want to play doctor?
Oh, you want to play doctor?
We cut to Charlie. I put making a bomb because he just looks so...
I wrote Charlie building a thing. Yeah. I wasn't sure what he was doing.
I think it's a shovel. But Claire's feeling pregnant. She wants to talk about her dreams. Which is the worst. Am I right?
Oh, well, she's like had dreams about... She said that she had dreams about him. And I don't know why, but recently I've been like...
I think they're memories.
Yeah. I wrote Wet Dreams by Wet Leg. It's a song.
Dang.
I don't know why, but certain scenes have been reminding me of certain songs. Mm. Like how...
Is this the new Madison segment?
It might be. I don't know. But Here's Wet Dreams by Wet Leg came in my head. If you don't know that song, you should check it out.
I will check it out. I hate the juxtaposition of the song and the band title. Can't lie.
I don't know what to tell you.
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
But Charlie turns down taking a walk with her, and we cut to Sawyer trekking through the jungle. He finds his tarp, hears the whispers again. It'll come back around. Boar! The boar comes out charging, knocks him down, and he's pissed. He's all muddy. He's telling Kate in the next scene about the boar. What are you, a boar expert?
His line delivery is really funny on that boar expert part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, this is my fight. I don't need anybody's help. She's like, just tell Locke to hunt it down. This is my fight. He wants to get revenge on the boar.
I want my vengeance. I will have my vengeance.
But then it's a great cut. Got revenge to tend to, and then cuts to the past on the revenge that he was, in fact, tending to back in Australia. He's in Australia, we assume. He goes to see Hibbs, his mate, to get a gun. We find out that Australia, very intelligently, doesn't allow handguns with its citizens. And it says, hey, if you find out that you're not the kind of man who can kill a man, there's no refunds, right? It's a great scene.
I love a pragmatic black market arms dealer.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Also letting him know the policy there, right? Keep the receipt, but however.
Also keep your receipts. We don't do credit card transactions, so I can't look up the sale or purchase that way.
Yeah. Check the SKU number on that pistol.
Wow. That was really good.
And then cut to Hurley and Charlie burying Ethan. A little too nonplussed, I feel like.
Wait, who was nonplussed? Hurley?
Like Hurley, especially. It's a body, and they're just like,
Oh, Hurley. I mean, they've been on the island for a month. Hurley's like, you seen one dead body? You see 100.
I still think he drowned.
Did you guys notice that?
Oh, this is Ethan. That's
the
right.
The dead body was breathing.
Mm-hmm.
I did not.
I was that. Like,
yep. That was in my beach, please.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I do like Hurley, because Hurley's like worried
Ethan
that Ethan's going to become a zombie because he clearly has superpowers,
right.
I guess. And he's like, well, I'm worried about him being a zombie because he's going to obviously catch me first because I'm heavy and I can get cramps.
Their digging acting is terrible. I know they're both distracted and the emotional weight of the scene is what's important, but they're like barely moving soil. Like, this is going to take a while the way you guys are working right now.
I mean, no one wants to dig a hole.
Nobody does. Let's be honest. You should have hired somebody. You know, like, Boone could have done better.
Who are they going to hire? It's just like Hurley on the beach, like just dudes and lady dudes.
One of the red shirts. I don't know.
Right.
But then he looks at
Charlie. We can't get Boone anymore because he's a cast member now. I need another red shirt.
He says, "You all right?" And Charlie is not okay, right?
Ignores him.
We cut to Hurley asking Saeed about Gulf War syndrome. One of the best jokes of the entire series. That was the other side. We were fine. And he's like, "No, PTSD. Yeah, that's what it is, right?" So
you should talk to him.
I love how Saeed's reaction is, "What's wrong with Charlie? He didn't even torture him.
Right?
Is he a pussy?"
Yes.
Yeah, you have to torture someone to feel like you did a bad thing and feel guilty and then leave the island, leave the party for a couple weeks and then...
He's a you think pussy? Is that what's going on? I just like that dynamic because he kind of seems like it never occurred to him.
I've killed 16 people. Yeah, what's the big deal?
I don't understand. Right.
I kill them all the time.
And we cut to Sawyer out boar hunting. Kate comes to help. He's been following Boone's tracks, his own tracks.
He's tickled that Kate wants to help.
She wants carte blanche. That means blank check.
I have learned.
I love this dynamic. I'm telling you, this is so... Everything on this episode is firing on all cylinders. I know what it means.
Yeah, she wants carte blanche to be able to have access to anything in his stash. No ifs, ands, or buts if she helps him out. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, the idea that he's been tracking Boone is hilarious because, you know, Boone was just as lost.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Boone was also walking in circles like, where the hell? I can't find Mr. Locke again.
Based on the weight of the imprint and the distance between strides, I would say you are following Boone. or I would say Boone is heading that way. I think it's funny. And then they cut to them sitting around a fire at night. He's got some alcohol. And it is my... Spoiler, I'm going to gush. It's my favorite scene of the entire show. I think it's fucking brilliant. Mm-hmm. He decides to play I Never to give her one of the alcoholic beverages. And she doesn't know what that game is. And he's like, well, based on that, I know you've never been to college.
Yeah.
When she said
that was a good play in the script.
Yeah. It was because when she initially says I don't know what that game is, I wrote like, how does she not know what this fucking game is? And then he goes, well, I know you didn't get it. And I was like, oh, they got me back. Okay, yeah. All right.
Which the game is Never Have I Ever. So I wonder if they couldn't say that.
There's iterations throughout the country. I'm sure what it's called.
Sort of like how sometimes it's White Elephant. Sometimes it's Yankee Swap. Sometimes it's something else, just depending on where you grew up.
Yeah,
I guess that's true.
Yeah,
I guess they had to. Yeah, you're right.
Sometimes it's going skiing. Sometimes it's a double handy. It just depends on where you're at, what kind of party you're at. I'm always middle. So then it says
Sassafras.
And they go back and through a bunch of different stuff. I try to take note of as many as I could. He starts with, I never kissed a man. And somewhere Boone is chugging. In more ways than one.
He's like, I don't know why, but I feel like I have to do this.
And then he says, I've never been in love. Again, Boone chugging. And then, ooh, Kate's been... I don't remember how much we're supposed to know about Kate, I'll be honest, because of the strike hiatus.
Well, she said she was in love. She said
she killed the man she loved.
She's briefly been married.
Yeah.
It was. So we don't know who she killed yet. I can't remember. It's correct. So terrible.
We don't know who she killed. And this is the first time we found out that she has been married. This is how we find out that she was married, presumably to the person that she loved, presumably.
Yeah.
And then she says, I've never blamed a boar for all my problems. And he begrudgingly drinks.
And then
she says, I've never carried a letter around for 20 years, you know, because I can't let go of my baggage or whatever. And he's like pissed drinking. And then I don't think he knows that she's killed someone, right?
I
interpreted this as he was speculating that she has and he wanted, but we don't know for sure that he knows at this point, right?
Okay. I don't think he knows for sure, but he does. He knows that she was a criminal in some capacity.
And because he's angrier that she dug so deep, he says, I never killed a man. And then she drinks. And then he drinks.
Yeah.
And then I'm like losing my mind at how much I love this scene in my notes at this point.
And there was a part of me that was like, because when he looked at her and asked that, my immediate thought was, you can lie, babe. He doesn't know anything about you. You can lie and say you haven't.
Well, that's what makes the scene so brilliant, though, is because at a certain point, I think one of his I nevers is, you know, I never pretended to care about carte blanche so I could spend time with the only other guy who doesn't belong on this fucking island, right?
Yeah.
And she drinks. And
she wanted
like,
to hang out with him.
And like, yeah. So there's this camaraderie there underneath all of this where they're kind of unwilling to lie because they need so desperately to, for a 1 second, not pretend to be someone else.
Yeah.
It's just such a fucking beautifully done. I'm getting chills. And then the close-ups, the lighting, everything is just so good. I just wanted him to kiss. And I wanted Jack to pop out naked and say, let's do this, guys.
He said, I heard you never kissed a man. It's time to change that.
I ran. I ran from the beach when I heard that.
I had my own alcohol. I was playing with you guys.
Boone started chugging and I knew what it meant.
Oh, God. I love it so much.
Yeah, this is a great scene. And also there was in the beginning of the scene, Sawyer's like, I found the liquor cart of the plane. And she's like, good thing Jack.
No, she's like, Jack's been looking for that.
He's like, good thing I didn't tell him.
Good thing I found it first. And then back in the past.
Back in time.
we see the mommy death again, except it's not the past.
Not the
it's actually a dream.
It's a pig dream.
And this time it's a boar stalking him instead of cowboy boots. It's so well done, dude. Back in the present.
Here, little piggy. Suey.
Kate wakes him from his nightmare. The bear ate all.
The pig.
The boar.
Not the bear. Bear.
The bear.
The boar. The boar ate all of his shit, but not Kate's. I told you, it's picking on me. It's so great.
It was so funny.
He pulls a gun on something.
It's so fun seeing Sawyer like flustered.
Out of sorts, yeah.
And just kind of like, he doesn't know what to do with this like boar situation.
And because he's been so like, because everybody like,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Not hates him, but just like everybody's enjoying this flustering. Like Kate's making fun of him for it. Locke is
Saeed.
Also making. Yeah, Saeed. It's just, it's so funny. I love it.
He pulls a gun on a noise in the jungle. It turns out to be Locke, who is just like, he's doing like the move that they use in movies all the time where you usually an apple, but you give him a piece of fruit. It makes him look like an asshole. So he just treks up like,
hey, you know, like,
I love that Sawyer's got a gun pointed at him and Locke's issue is like, what happened to your trash campsite?
Yeah. What happened to the campsite?
No, I mean, you're not going to hit me because you can't shoot for shit,
right,
Sawyer.
Right.
But
right.
Your campsite looks like garbage.
It's so well done. The boar even pissed on one of his t-shirts.
That was my favorite t-shirt.
And then they all sit down. Locke's making coffee. He knew they were there because he like found their tracks and decided to see what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because Locke is a gossipy bitch. He wanted to know. He's yeah. Like, ooh, Kate and tea. Sawyer?
Oh.
I saw Boone chugging. And so they sit down and there's an awkward beat.
I know.
And then Locke goes as an icebreaker. My sister Jeannie died when I was a boy. Fell off the monkey bars and broke her neck.
Similar and to how Kate and Sawyer were reacting, I also was like, where is he going?
Oh, it's great. It's great. And Kate like looks at Sawyer like, the fuck? And then he also mentioned he's a foster kid, which I don't think we knew about Locke.
I don't think we did.
So there's so much meat in this tea. It's chunky tea in this episode.
Beefy tea.
Mm-hmm. And he tells this story that at first seems so irrelevant and off the wall and dark about how when his sister died, a dog, stray dog, showed up out of nowhere, slept in his sister's bed and stayed there until the mom died and then left. Right. And again, my note is just, wow, what an episode. Right. Because I'm like, what? And then I'm fucking in. I'm, excuse the pun, locked in. Right. And I love that Locke's trying, you know, he's like, did you thought, oh, so the dog was your sister? And he's like,
no, that'd be stupid.
That'd be ridiculous. But my mom thought that. right? And he's just looking right at Sawyer. And it is letting the audience know, like, this boar is not the guy that he killed.
Yeah.
It's not Frank Duckett. But it is 100% related to the demons, right? And this is his opportunity to, I don't know, it's just so well done. It's a perfect example of how they try to weave the past in with the present stuff on the island.
Yeah.
And probably whatever, wherever they are and whatever's going on is directly related to all of their past misdeeds and stuff, right? But anyway, I was just like fucking floored. Yeah,
this is really great. Just because Locke is so good at being that, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi character of sort of telling like people exactly what they need to hear. And just the way he, he directs that at Sawyer. Like, I think you're reading into this boar situation. It's your own baggage that you got.
These are not the boars you're looking for.
Move along.
This episode was sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it's 2024. What does everybody do in the new year? They make resolutions. They set goals. How about we don't do that? I mean, you can. It's obviously nice to have goals, but it's also a good exercise to focus on things that you like about yourself. You know, not making all those high pressure goals that you might fail at and just feel worse. You can set smaller goals. And I think therapy can be a good way to access things that you enjoy about your life and focusing on the positive, the gratitude. And BetterHelp is a good way to do that. If you've never given BetterHelp a try, it's therapy that's entirely online. You can do it all from your home and access a therapist by filling out a questionnaire. And if you end up not liking that therapist, you can switch. Again, along with the theme of this ad, no pressure whatsoever. They're not going to have their feelings hurt by it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Happy New Year, everybody. New year, new chances to be thankful for everyone around us. And we are so thankful for every single one of our Patreon members. But now it is time to give a special shout out to our super patrons for the month of January. So thank you so much to Sebastian Generale, Sean Callahan, Stanton Valentino, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Infamous, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, Haley Anderson, AK Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B, Joe Velez, Michelle, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sunloving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Orion Moore, Ashley Powers, Stephen V, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much. And with that, let's get back to the show.
So back in the past is where we cut to next. Sawyer finds Sawyer running the food truck.
The sweet shop.
He goes for the hot shrimp, of course. Why wouldn't he?
Has to.
They make some small talk about America.
It's so funny because they show this like rinky dink little like food truck before food trucks were really a thing. And like out in the middle of nowhere.
Literally, that's in my notes. I'm like, where is this fucking place?
Just a random American guy in Australia serving up shrimp.
On the Barbie.
And if he really if he really wanted to get those Australian customers, he would have called it prawns because that's what they call them down there. Mm.
Mm. I've seen Chappie.
Yeah. Chappie got a book?
District 9.
You stole daddy's car? Chappie got a book? But yeah, we got two things on this menu. Shrimp and mild sauce or shrimp and hot sauce. What you want?
Mm-hmm.
A salad.
We find out his fucking name is James.
James.
Big news.
Yeah.
Big news.
Heck yeah.
Sawyer's name is James.
Correct. Yeah. But then the other guy's name is Frank. But he leaves. He does not kill Frank. He's at a bar now. And there's another American in there. As soon as he's over drinking, you tell him, cowboy. You
know? All these Australians think us Americans can't hold our liquor.
Well, we can't.
I will die of alcohol poisoning shortly.
It's Jack's dad. It's Jack's dad.
Yeah.
Oh, well, shit.
Sister Christian sitting in the bar.
Is it bad that I didn't realize it was his dad until they started like talking? I didn't recognize that actor at first.
I get it.
You're used to seeing him in like a hospital looking all cleaned up like a surgeon, but now he looks like he's on
rugged and shit.
18-week bender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there doing like shot after shot, which I think is funny in movies. Like, yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, Sawyer's like, just leave the bottle. And yeah. Jack's dad's like, okay.
You're right. Like, okay. I drank like that, but I also got sober at 23. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason. And I was like pissing myself and puking blood all the time. So you don't just like do that at the bar and have the bartender go, that'll be
How
fine.
How often does that happen at bars where people are like, leave the bottle, Slim?
Never.
And it's like, all right, I'll leave this unattended.
Literally never. That'll be $378. And then, you know, like it's, just, it's not a thing.
No, don't leave this. Yeah, what's Sawyer like? I do love how Christian is like, hey, man, I seem to have misplaced my wallet. You mind covering for me?
And yeah, so also, like, you're going to buy all this.
And it's like,
I've blown through my doctor savings already.
Yeah, you're a chief. You used to be a chief surgeon.
It's been a long 6 weeks. He's broke now. I guess. Or maybe he really lost his wallet. He just doesn't have his credit cards and stuff.
Maybe.
But then it ends with, a discussion about philosophy and morality. You know,
if you're here, you are suffering. But it's fate. Some people are just fated to suffer.
That's why the Red Sox never won the World Series.
And Australia is as close to hell as you can get without being burned.
I meant to look this up.
What?
The Red Sox.
I will let you know.
Ever won. Oh, that's a thing?
Yep.
For later. Okay. I meant to look that up. Anyhoozle. It'd be funny if they like won the next year. It'll be a cool beach, please. And so then he goes on to say, like, I'm not mad at my son. He thinks that I think he betrayed me and I hate him, but actually I'm filled with gratitude and pride at what he did. He's a good man, maybe a great man. And I could fix everything with one phone call. There's a payphone right there. I could call him and tell him I'm not mad that
I
love him.
But I don't have my wallet.
Yeah. And Sawyer's like, well, why don't you just do that? And he's like, because I'm weak, right? Which is why whatever's bothering you, you should just go do. And this is why you should never give advice based on limited information of a vague problem. Because I don't think he would actually be saying, you should go shoot that guy in the face, right? What if Sawyer was like, all right, I'm going to go kill him. And then
wait,
hold up. Actually, you need to fill me in.
Actually, wait, let's think about this. You shoot him, but like, don't kill him because then I'll save him and then I'll get my job back.
Ooh.
We can win together.
Yeah.
I could be an Australian paramedic.
There you go.
They don't care if I'm drunk. You're not allowed to have a handgun.
In Australia.
It could be a spinoff show. Just the Sawyer and him being paramedic EMTs.
Oh, man.
But it's just Sawyer and Jack's dad. It's like not his name is never his name.
It's just Jack's dad.
Jack's dad.
Is his name Christian or something? You keep saying that. Okay.
It's Christian. Dead Island.
Yeah. So he gives him advice on his vague problem, basically saying, I think you should kill him.
Go fucking kill that guy.
Kill him.
And so Sawyer goes back to the food truck. And we cut to the present briefly. Charlie's stabbing fruit with a stick. And Saeed's like, you're really good at that. It's like, okay. You have quite a talent. What is he doing?
Another mystery of the island reveal.
Another mystery of the island reveal.
I just love how Saeed, no matter how, like the way Naveen delivers some lines sometimes, literally it's like you have a talent, but the way he delivers the line is so like poetic and
yeah,
it sounds so beautiful when he says
he's trying to like cheer him up, like, oh, you're good at something. You're not useless.
And he's just like banging.
Ah! He's the lock to Boone. Like,
What is he doing with this fruit, though?
It's a coconut. He's opening a coconut.
That is not a coconut.
Yes, it is.
Shucking
it? It's green.
Is that what you call it?
Coconuts are green.
Yeah.
They're hairy and brown.
They are also green.
Really?
I swear.
I believe you. I'm showing my own ignorance. I thought he was making, like, sex toys for everybody, just putting holes in all of them.
We all live it.
Look, guys, I got a solution to this tension we're all feeling.
Do we need to show you a picture of a coconut?
I already said I believed you.
That's a Hawaiian coconut.
They're supposed to be brown and hairy. I've seen Castaway.
Well, they can be green and hairy. Don't discriminate against coconuts.
Wilson.
So he's just making some coconut juice for everybody?
Yeah.
But the milk, what is he doing with the milk? He's just stabbing it and letting the milk drain out? That seems
I think he's just, I think the green part's the outer shell. And then he's like opening it.
Penetrating.
Yeah. Sure. Trying to get to the brown, hairy part.
You quizzically were like, penetrating? Okay.
I'm following.
Yeah.
So anyway. He's doing that. And basically, Saeed gives him a pep talk about you don't have to pretend like you're okay, but also the solution to what you're feeling is like that you're, you know, not act like you're not alone. Don't act like you are. Because we've apparently all killed people. And then he walks away. Because this juxtaposed with the last episode, it's like, oh, there's a lot of murderers here.
Yeah.
On this flight.
But Saeed goes on to say, like, you know, he also has killed a guy that he believes deserves death because this guy.
Back in Tikrit.
Yeah. Put a bomb on a car that killed a woman and three children.
Yeah.
But he still like, even though it was justifiable, like this man murdered these people, but like still, like he woke up in the middle of the night and was very...
Taking a life is difficult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now torturing, that's easy.
Torturing, that's different.
Yeah. Oh boy, there I go torturing again.
Someone please stop me.
Yeah, but he says like, you're not alone. Don't pretend to be.
Yeah. We've all killed somebody.
Hurley's killed 20 men.
Mm-hmm. We've Come all on. Killed somebody.
Lackadaisically, he buried that body. Not back in time, but over to Kate and Sawyer. Kate finds a wallow.
I love this small little exchange that they're going through the jungle. And
that's a wallow.
Sawyer's like, I can't wait till one day this all will be a shopping complex, maybe even an auto mall.
Yeah.
They're so sick of the jungle. Yeah. I love that part.
Can't mm-hmm. wait till it gets.
Let's bulldoze this paradise and put up a parking lot.
Right.
Let's pave paradise.
I thought it'd be bigger. I love that line when he finds the piglet and Kate goes, thought it'd be bigger. And he's like, hilarious. Like, it's just such a fucking, every quip lands like it's supposed to. It's such a good episode. And he's like, kind of like torturing the baby pig and she's getting pissed and says,
yeah, I wasn't about that either.
And storms off, you know, good luck being lost. And they lost. back in the past.
Back in time.
Fuck is such a, he shoots the guy. Boom.
Sawyer shoots Sawyer.
Hey, Sawyer. Boom. Doesn't even say anything, right? And the guy's sitting there bleeding out like, who?
Why?
And he starts to read him the letter. Dear Mr. Sawyer.
That was your name.
And Hibbs is like,
what?
He's like, who's that? Why are you reading to me? What the fuck's going on?
What the hell?
You wanted the mild shrimp. You should have said something. And finally, he's like, dude, I was going to pay Hibbs this money. And he finds out, he realizes in that moment that Hibbs lied to him so that he would go do his dirty work.
Yeah.
And the last words of Frank Duckett are, it'll come back around, which is the whisper that keeps happening to Sawyer in the jungle. And it's wow.
He killed an innocent man.
This is like a vignette. I mean, this is like such a good Twilight Zone episode or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
It works on its own as a standout story. I'm amazed. I know I'm just gushing at this point.
This is a great episode for sure.
Back in the present, he finds the boar while shouting for Kate because he is lost. Kate, seriously, I know you're near tracking me. I'm lost. I'm not going to lie. And she's watching. He doesn't know it. And he pulls the gun on the boar. They stare at each other. And he decides,
it's you, the guy whose tarp I stole.
He's the French boar.
Hello. I was a member of Rousseau's crew.
You grabbed my son.
You will pay very dearly for what you did to my little piglet.
He decides not to shoot it.
No, wee. Oink, oink.
And the only...
The direct eye contact you made with me doing that was so funny.
Ongoing.
Like, wee.
This is a great moment, like emotionally, that he's like, is overcome and makes this decision. But it's slightly undercut by my dumb practical brain where I'm like, I get it. And that's all good. They do need to eat that boar, though. Like, but what, I would have loved for Kate to watch Sawyer walk away and then go,
I know you went through something, but we seriously do kind of need this.
We do need the meat.
Or like Locke comes up from above and just stabs it. Like Assassin's Creed knives it.
Ooh, yeah. He just like swan dives off the tree into a pile of hay.
What are you guys looking at? This is why I'm out here. This is my job.
And then we get this like weirdly soft piano montage of happy folk. I think it's like Walt playing with Vincent.
Michael building the boat.
Michael's building. His raft looks good too.
Yeah, he's making progress with Steve or Scott.
Yeah, Jen and Son are out on the beach looking hot as always. Mm-hmm. Charlie comes up and he's like, I'll take that walk now. Preggers. And then she's like, got the lower back thing. It's all very realistic. and then Sawyer approaches Jack, who's out chopping wood, building a little fire stack, doing man things, gives him his gun back voluntarily.
Wait, hold on. He goes, stick him up, cowboy.
Sure.
And holds a gun at him. And Jack's like, you trying to be funny? And just that little like,
yeah.
I put in my notes. Oh, this where Sawyer's going to get his first man kiss.
Ooh.
Big old kiss.
Kiss
I'll give you the gun back, but right I now. Want you to do what Kate did.
Mm-hmm.
Open mouth.
Yeah.
Tongue first.
That's right.
Never have I kissed a man.
And then Boone started drinking.
And then he like leans in.
I'll tell you where the liquor is if you kiss me. Liquor.
Liquor.
I hardly know her.
I hardly know her.
And he says, I made a deal with your girlfriend. That's why I gave the gun back, right? And he's like, what does she owe you? Please tell me, but don't tell me. I'm a jealous man.
Ain't nothing she wasn't willing to part with.
And then Jack says, that's why the Sox will never win the series. And Sawyer's like, why'd you say that? Martha. Why'd you say that name?
Why'd you say that name?
And he's upset. And he tells him, this is something my dad used to say. Your daddy was he's a doctor too.
Was.
He's dead.
Put a lot of things on faith. Wait. Talk about being fated and shit all the time. That was like his
go-to.
Why
you want to know about my daddy?
Why? Don't talk about my dad. I don't like you. And then, why you want to know about my dad? He says, no reason. Because he almost tells him. He could absolve Jack of so much pain. Mm-hmm. And he's like cruelly unwilling to do that in that moment.
But also,
I don't
feel
know if it's being cruel, but more like Sawyer's just kind of shaken up himself and doesn't quite know what
are the odds.
I feel like, you know, there is some like, oh, coincidence that your dad was a doctor. Not super weird, though, because you are a doctor yourself. And I mean, not that the Red Sox are, you know, a team that no one knows about. So maybe Sawyer's just like, oh, like this is a weird coincidence. Yeah. Maybe it's him, but maybe it's not. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a little, if you're in Sawyer's position, I can see where like the coincidence is lining up so well, could be very off-putting and spooky and just kind of like, what the fuck is going on?
Is this a TV show that an Oscar-winning writer is writing? Because that's crazy.
That's crazy.
It is. It is, baby. And that, my friends,
concludes
episode 16. The best episode of Lost. Outlaws.
Pew,
which
pew.
Brings us to Beach Please.
Beach Please.
You sounded like the pig.
This is the part of the episode where I give you guys some trivia, tidbits about this episode. And we got a couple fun ones in here. As you mentioned before, Kit, this is the first time that Sawyer's first name, James, is revealed in the episode. So it's James Sawyer. How fun is that?
That's fun.
Alluding to the question you had earlier, the Boston Red Sox, funnily enough, won the 2004 World Series right before this episode aired.
That's a bummer.
So, like, but in the timeline of the show, it had not taken place yet. But in real life, people would have been like, they just won.
That's so funny. The writers are like watching the game. They're like, fuck.
Yeah, but that was a big deal because there was like, I don't know how big into baseball you guys are. I'm not super into baseball, but I was aware that there was this quote unquote like perceived curse that had befallen the Red Sox, where they were this really good team, but they could never win the World Series for like
100 years.
Very long time. Yeah. And then they finally like broke the curse, I think, in 2004. But it's kind of funny how that timing worked out. When Sawyer falls in the mud when he's being chased by the boar, they couldn't actually take boar and, you know, bring them to Hawaii on location. So this is actually filmed in like an enclosed space where they keep boar like that. Like, huh.
I keep forgetting that boar is also the plural of boar, and so it sounds like you're just saying. The guy's name was the boar's name was boar. They couldn't keep boar.
Everybody loves boar.
Boar was busy that day. Anyway, go on.
But yeah, so they are actually filming in an enclosure, not in Hawaii, and you can actually tell because in the wide shot when Sawyer rolls out of the way, you can see the fencing behind him. So a little bit of a.
I'm really bad at noticing continuity errors and like. Things like that.
Well, I
almost never notice.
It's easier in like foliage like that to hide, because there's just so many things.
I hide in foliage pretty well.
They're in quick shots, so like you could be forgiven for not seeing it because it's very quick and the action is him rolling, so of course you're looking at that and not in the background. Yeah. And we mentioned this before, but Hibbs is obviously played by Robert Patrick, better known as the T-1000 and T-2, or Coach Willis in The Faculty, which we covered on this show, and so much more.
Peacemaker's dad.
Peacemaker, yeah. The super white Klansman or something, whatever his name. Red Dragon. Was it Red Dragon?
White Dragon.
White Dragon, something. Yeah. No, Robert Patrick is in everything.
He's a legend.
Yeah, he's a legend. Sawyer's One Night Stand. In the beginning of the episode that he almost had sexy time with before Robert Patrick interrupted, is played by an actress known as Brittany Perrineau. If that last name sounds familiar, that is the last name of Harold Perrineau, who plays Michael. They are, in fact, married. and they were married when this episode was filmed, and they remain married today.
Oh, that's a good story.
So that is Hollywood couple, Michael's real life wife. Yep.
Nice.
Wow. Okay.
And going back to that episode ranking, Kit, this episode is ranked number 9 out of 25.
Bullshit. There better be some fucking
that's
bangers coming
interesting.
Up.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. So that concludes this week's edition of Beach Please.
Beach Please. I love that.
Now it's time for our Mile High Club moments, our top three favorite moments of the episode. Madison is excited.
I know.
What is your number three?
My number three, again, I loved the whole bit where people were giving Sawyer shit the entire time because the boar was antagonizing him the whole time. So my number three is when Sawyer is bitching to Kate, like right after he rummaged through the campsite or his little camp, whatever. Just about the boar stalking him, like, no, this is personal. I just thought it was really funny.
Yeah,
I liked
it. He's doing great. Steve, you're number three.
My number three is the same thing. You know, everyone poking fun at Sawyer throughout his boar beef, as I wrote down in my notes.
Holy irony.
Everyone loves a good celebrity fight, you know? Yeah. There's Biggie, there's Tupac. And then there's Sawyer and the boar.
Sure.
That's the
rivalry you came up with.
There's Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage. Sure. There's Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock. And then Sawyer and the boar.
Right.
I just love everyone's coy little, we have a chance to poke fun at Sawyer. This never happens. Usually he's the one that's giving us like fun little jabs and barbs. Yeah. And now it's our turn to get some comeuppance on this guy. And it's a lot of fun. And he plays it very, very well. And it's just a good time. It's a good time.
What fun. My number three is the moment with Jack and Sawyer at the end of the episode.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I think it's I don't feel for Jack often, but in this moment, I'm like, you know, I was so mad at his dad in that bar, like, because I'm weak. Fucking call him, dude. You know what I mean? But I get it. He's an alcoholic in the midst of his cups.
Of which there were many.
Many cups.
Mm-hmm. We saw them.
And so it's so tragic. So it's like beautifully, sweetly tragic that his deliverance is so close at hand, yet so far. And even though it's a little bit wildly coincidental, it's not in an unbelievable way to me. It's just one of those things. I've seen crazy, stranger than fiction kind of way, you know, mm-hmm. except it is fiction. But yeah, that's my number three. Madison, you're number two.
My number two is when Locke just randomly brought up his dead sister. But then obviously, like, we got to a point where it's like, oh, okay, this is how it connects.
Blah, he brought blah, it blah. Back.
But I just was like, Locke, what are you doing, buddy? And I just was like, it just feeling the same way that like Kate and Sawyer were feeling in that moment, and me being like, okay, yeah, I'm glad that there's like some understanding of like where this is going. Cause I feel like sometimes like they'll say something and then the characters are like, oh yeah, like I liked how they acknowledged how awkward that was.
Yes. Because they're just like, the boar is pissing on his shirt and they're like, oh, this is terrible. And then suddenly Locke's like, you know, prostate is the male G-spot, you know.
Just like comes in and like drops this like very traumatic like baggage on them. Yeah. But it's like it does have a purpose, which is what I liked. But it was a memorable moment for me from this episode. I thought it was really funny.
Yeah. Steve, you're number two.
My number two is actually the scene with Sawyer and Jack's dad, Christian, in the bar. I don't know. I like that actor that plays Jack's dad. I think he's a good asset for the show. You know, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that guy pops up a lot in backstory, specifically Jack's. And he always does a great job, I think. And it's a character combination. I don't think when you sat down and watched the show that you never thought would happen.
Yeah.
And so seeing it happen is really cool because it's nice to see these characters are actually tied together in ways you didn't know, like their past. And it's just really neat to see that in a way, Jack's dad is being a shitty dad to more than just his son. He's like, hey, you should go kill that guy. I mean, he doesn't know. Right. He's trying to be helpful, but it's just kind of a fun little thing that guy's just accidentally like getting a man murdered.
Yeah. I think you should just go murder him. That'll make you feel better.
That'll make you feel better. I wish I could murder my son.
I'd murder the person that got me here, but she's already dead because I accidentally murdered her. So my number two is the same as Madison's, is when Locke shows up at the ruined campsite, but specifically when he tells the story about his sister. Because it's hilarious at first, but also like brilliantly reveals backstory about Locke that we don't know in a Sawyer episode.
Yeah.
That's already woven with Jax. It's fucking amazingly done writing wise. But then, yeah, it brings it back around and makes it like a really poignant thematic anchor to the episode. So chef's kiss. Madison, your favorite moment of the episode?
My favorite moment, I believe, is the same as yours, as you've mentioned recently, which was the never have I ever scene with Kate and Sawyer.
We all everybody.
It's
literally my favorite scene in the show.
I think I really liked, you know, there was obviously some flirtation, but there was also some like layers of seriousness, them wanting to get to know each other, kind of like just figuring each other out, recognizing that there are some major similarities between the two of them via they have both killed people. But it was also just like playful and fun. And I don't know, it was a chance to see these characters kind of like play with each other in that way. I don't know. That sounded weird, but like,
go on.
Right. But I don't know. It was good. I liked how they filmed it. I liked how they interacted with each other. I thought it was a good scene.
Yes, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, same. I mean, it's a very well-written scene. We're learning so much about these characters in very subtle ways. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see this scene go from like playful and fun to like very heavy and serious. And I mean, both characters have such great chemistry with one another. So it just works so well. You know, Kate is one of the best actors on the show. Like she's always there. Eventually Lily, she's always there. She's always crushing it. And, you know, having an acting partner across from Josh Holloway, and they have obviously have that chemistry. It's just a very fun scene, and the way they light it with the flames of the campfire, you know, it's great. It's one of the best examples of writing on the show.
Absolutely. And I've gushed about the scene enough already. You guys know how I feel. It's amazing. Which brings us to our passenger princess. I can imagine we have a we all everybody scenario yet again.
The boar.
If you don't count that I chose.
The boar, yeah.
The
prop gun in episode 15.
Oink, oink, wee, wee.
Oink, wee, wee.
I mean, that performance, you can't deny.
I come after your tent. your tarp.
Your tarp.
Your tarp.
Ah. I do not like this blue color on the beach.
I fart in your general direction.
I piss on your shirt.
Your father smelled of elderberries when he killed your mom.
Your mother was a hamster. Madison.
I mean,
who are you nominating?
Josh Holloway.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't fault you if you had a hot take and picked Evangeline Lilly though. For a little reason, she was
my number two choice.
Close runner up.
I mean, yes.
Dark horse.
Yes,
it has to be one of those two. But Josh Holloway really is, you know, utilizing his acting chops incredibly well.
Rolling around in the mud.
I think when the character of Sawyer is shallow, I actively thought Josh Holloway was a bad actor. Because like I got a big old dick and I like to pinch butts and flirt with women's and I'm a misogynist. And like all that stuff was like so like surface level and like kind of corny.
Yeah.
But when they allow Sawyer to have the depths, and especially when I see his childhood and it all of a sudden it flipped a switch and he's sitting around that campfire and I'm like, give this man an Oscar. You know, like it just recontextualized his performance even in such a way that.
Well, I mean, Josh Holloway is such an attractive man.
Sure.
Very. But he's very good at going from he's very good at going from like this cocksure, smirky.
I'm sure of it. Sure, I want it.
Cocksure, smirky dude.
Say cocksure one more time.
Cocksure. He's got that smirk on his face, and then immediately he can turn it to like, I'm sad boy.
Yeah, like that Florence Pugh frown.
But now he can also do this like very serious, like staring a hole through your head and being angry and just
talk about
full
holes
of rage and contempt and sadness. Look at that face. I just want to hold
Holy
him and
shit.
Tell him it's okay.
Right.
I want to tell him it's okay. He's amazing. He should have been in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol more.
I agree. Was it Ghost Protocol?
Was it Ghost Protocol?
I thought it was 3. No, you're right. I think it is 4.
It's 4. It was the Brad Bird one.
No, you're right because it's Lea Seydoux that.
Pew, pew. Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
But yes, we all everybody, which brings us to our lost and found. The only mystery I know for sure was revealed was his name is James.
Yes.
That was on the list, right? What else? Anything? I don't think anything was added.
Sawyer's real name. Yeah, that's the only thing. Well, technically, we don't know his full real name, but James is his first.
We don't know his surname.
Yeah. Yes, we don't know his surname.
Yeah. It's Smith. Or
James,
Potter.
James Smith.
James Potter.
Oh my God. Is this Harry Potter's dad? Oh no.
Kate is Lily.
Oh. shit.
It was a weird crossover. Oh my God.
That's where they went when Voldemort murdered them.
Azkaban is actually this island. It's actually quite nice.
Yeah, see?
Everyone's
okay.
I mean, we put a spell through it.
The Boar or the Dementors?
That's why they can't remember anything, because we suck their souls out.
Oh, hey, I'm Paul.
Oh, hey. Oh, you put your hands off that little piglet in training. That's just a young Dementor. He's learning the ropes. Squeal, squeal.
Squeal, squeal.
Oink, oink. So that brings our episode of our coverage of episode 16 to a close. Wonderful fucking episode, if I haven't said so already.
So good.
But that's all the time we have right now. I've got to go return some videotapes and look at more pictures of Josh Holloway.
Madison is just...
Is that him in jorts?
Yes, in flip-flops.
I don't love that look as much as the one he showed me earlier.
It's like a top-knot ponytail.
In fact, I hate all of that.
I'm sorry. I won't show that again.
That's what we call a boner kill where I'm from.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kit.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.